This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, top stories of the day. I don't know if you followed much of the Lindsey Vonn story, but the story of her making the comeback with the torn ACL, all that, and her trials were amazing. Well, she had a devastating crash in the Olympic downhill on that knee, and it was bad, dude. She was shouting. It was uncomfortable. It really sucked. Should she have even been allowed on a course that's that dangerous? I mean, that's what all the reports. I don't know much about downhill skiing, but there were a lot of reports that were like, this one is really dangerous. And it's a very good chance that it was going to result in injury. I mean, it's like her choice, I guess, right? She's going to be done after this one either way. And if she's good with having long-term damage, which I'm sure she will, she's probably going to have a limp and all. I don't know, man, how bad that's going to be. But it was really one of those stories. It would have been an amazing story. It would have been a movie. She lost control within seconds of leaving the start house Sunday, clipping the gate with her right shoulder and pinwheeling down the slope before ending up awkwardly on her back. Her skis were crisscrossed below her, and you could hear her screams and until medical personnel finally arrived. But, man, that is a rough story that really, if you're getting into the Olympics, that was one of those stories that you're rooting for, because that's what it's all about. Kenneth Walker III, Mike. Super Bowl MVP, first running back to be named Super Bowl MVP since Terrell Davis. That's crazy to think about that, isn't it? That's how weird the run game has been since the heyday of guys like Terrell Davis. But I'll tell you, you can tell me how great that defense was, they were amazing. You can tell me all about the kicker. But Mike, they don't set up for those field goals without Kenneth Walker doing his thing. It was not like an amazing day for Sam Darnold. He started hitting on some of those passes late, but it was Kenneth Walker, man. I mean, that run game is crucial, and I hope Sean Payton was taking some notes to put on the play sheet.
Yeah, late in the game, Sam Darnold was 17 of 34.
Yeah.
Like, he's hitting 50%. That's bad.
Still a great story with Sam Darnold, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you want to talk about a redemption story. You had it. You had it in this Super Bowl. And I know some people said that this matchup didn't excite them, but the fact that you had a guy that was on his, what, fifth team, Mike? He was drafted by the Jets, then he went to the Panthers, then he went to San Francisco, then he went to Minnesota. It kind of started with Minnesota. Well, in his mind, it started with San Francisco. He said he learned a lot from guys like Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. And then he took that to Minnesota. Played pretty well in that year, struggled in the playoffs, and then got to Seattle. And I mean, what a story, man. There was a picture I saw. It shows Darnold in a Seahawks jersey going to help up his old self in a Jets jersey. You know, this is a guy that was caught on camera saying, "I'm seeing ghosts out there," and that became a thing that followed him for the rest of his career. And now, Mike, it's a thing that defines him in a different way. He goes from a guy on camera saying, "I'm seeing ghosts out there," and he's the butt of a lot of jokes in the NFL. And he gets the last laugh all over all those guys. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, all those guys were drafted in the same class as him, and he's the one to walk away with the Super Bowl first.
Yeah, what does that say about the Jets and the Panthers? What does it say about those franchises? They have, and look, I don't see him as ever being a Hall of Fame quarterback. I see him being a better quarterback than I gave him credit for. Not only at USC, I didn't think he was that great of a quarterback at USC, so I have to eat my words.
I was trying to.
He does have talent at the wide receiver position,
he
so he does have some weapons.
He does, and when you have a run game like that, though, I'm telling you, that could be Bo Nix next year. That could be Bo. I mean, he has a lot of the things you like in a starting quarterback. He's not, in my mind, he's not there yet, but man, if you give him a running game, a real running threat. And J.K. Dobbins was good. But how many of those games when he was still, when Dobbins was having good games, did we still get back here on a Monday and say, why didn't they do that more?
God dang it, run the dang ball!
It's got to be more, there's just got to be more of a focus on it. With run block, with commitment to run, will that be a Davis Webb thing? Is Sean Payton really going to give up play calling to Davis Webb? I feel like that's going to happen. I don't know that you pull your name out of the running to be one of 32, which is very rare, to be a head coach in the NFL. I don't know that you pull your name out of that. I get it. It's the Raiders, and you'd be doing this whole thing over again in 2 to 3 years, probably getting fired, like maybe Clint Kubiak. But it's still an opportunity to be one of 32. Clint Kubiak was asked at the end of the game, Mike, in the post game. And he said, you guys know I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm fired up about it. He asked again if he was going. Kubiak said, hell yeah, I'm going. Kind of interesting timing to do that, but whatever. The Raiders have yet to confirm the hire, although it's been all over the place. And Adam Schefter reported it last week that Kubiak was expected to be named their next head coach. But they couldn't finalize the deal until after the Super Bowl. So I guess they were waiting on him, and that was kind of his verbal signing of, yeah, I'm going to be there. The Seahawks and the Rams are favored to be at least in the NFC Championship next year. Those are the heavy favorites. Seattle is tied with the Los Angeles Rams at plus 950 to win the Super Bowl in 2027, followed by the Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles, Baltimore Ravens. And the AFC champion New England Patriots are tied with them, with the Eagles and the Ravens.
Wait, followed by the Bills.
Yeah,
they have a brand new head coach.
Some people. Well, he's not necessarily brand new. I mean, he was their OC. I mean, yeah, he's brand new at the head coach position, but he's getting to step into that role. And you still have Josh Allen. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's
and
great and all,
game.
But there are a lot of coordinators out there that don't make good head coaches. I say, let's wait around to see how good this head coach is.
Well, that's the stock they're putting into Josh Allen. I mean, that's, you have a quarterback like that. Not mentioned in the top five or so is the Kansas City Chiefs. So the longer odds, you got the Lions, Packers, and the Chargers in there. The Chiefs and the Broncos are kind of more down the road, but I don't know. The schedule is going to be difficult for the Broncos. They definitely have to answer some offseason questions. Like, Mike, today, if you just run back, even if you sign J.K. Dobbins and you just run back this team next year, I don't think it's going to be enough. I know you're going to do your thing, or you think the Broncos are going to win every game. This schedule is going to be more complicated next year. So you have to get better. You can't have games where they're up 3-0 and they don't score again until late in the half or early in the third. You have to have a more dynamic offense. You just do. Even the Seahawks, who had a legitimately great defense, they were still able to get a lot of production from their quarterback, a lot of production from their key wide receivers, and obviously the run game, because Walker ran for over 1,000 yards this year.
I think one thing you got to do with R.J. Harvey is you have to point to that one play that happened last night where Walker was just behind the line, stops for like a second, finds a hole, and then goes through. I feel like that's RJ Harvey's biggest problem is he's going, I don't see a hole. I don't see a hole. I'm okay. I'm just going to go.
You know what else was huge about this Seahawks run in the playoffs, Mike? No turnovers. Is that the only time that's ever happened?
I don't recall that ever happening, but the Broncos don't turn the ball over a lot either.
Sam Darnold fumbled it once but didn't lose it. He didn't throw an interception, which was key. It wasn't like Sam Darnold was perfect in these playoffs. He threw for 5 touchdowns and 672 yards. Pretty good, but that was critical. No interceptions. He was sacked 6 times throughout the playoffs. And Kenneth Walker, for him, 313 yards, 4 touchdowns, no fumbles. So it was a good run, and I can see why Seattle's favored to do it again next year. I haven't looked at like their contracts or anything like that, but yeah, it's going to be. I can see why they're certainly a favorite, and in the AFC, I don't believe it'll be any. Rightfully so, in the two teams that were in the AFC Championship, I would not see them as being favorites to represent the AFC next year, Mike. I just don't.
Yeah, New England is going to struggle next year.
Well, Drake May is going to have to be much better than he was in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think we're seeing he's a rookie quarterback when he got to the playoffs. You saw how rookie he was. And look, a lot of that last night, a lot of that is he was seeing ghosts. His offensive line was atrocious. He might as well have not had an offensive line. It was so bad. They probably should have had 8 sacks if it wasn't for that penalty. The poor guy was just being beat up. Although that one interception, I'll say, I don't know if it was his fault or if it was the wide receiver's fault, the one he threw over the middle. That was a lazily run route. The guy didn't even,
Drake's.
He barely turned. He just kind of like, going to go to right, kind of. I don't know what it was.
Did you get the clip I sent you from Chris Collinsworth? They were just going off saying Drake May's figuring this out. He's finally starting to get into a rhythm here. And then he throws that pick, and it was a pretty bad pick. Either way, yeah, maybe the receiver gave up on the route, but it was rough. Here's Collinsworth. He pretty much didn't have any words. Here's from start to finish.
Cleans to Kyle Williams, and Chris, all of a sudden there's a rhythm to the New England offense. You can almost see a little confidence building.
Well, he's reading the defense now. He's seeing the blitz off the right side. He knows he's hot. He's got to throw it to the other way. These are the couple of best plays that he's had so far in this game.
8:50 to go. Step up and shoot one downfield. It's intercepted. Dylan Byes throw in the middle. Julian Love has it. Love 50. Love 40 and out of bounds at the 36-yard line.
Nothing. Back, and they're going to have a crossing route in here eventually, but there's just no way that ball was going to be completed.
It's almost like Drake May started to see some ghosts in that game. I mean, when you get sacked that many times, you're going to start feeling. I don't know that he was fully healthy either, and I know that's not an excuse, but Tanner was right, man. He said this Patriots team were phonies. They got there. They had a really easy schedule. They had a lot of things go their way. And they caught a Broncos team without their starting quarterback on a weird snowy day.
Yeah, I felt the same way as Tanner did. I've been saying that for a long time.
Oh, you have?
Not the words phony, but I've been saying, hey, weak schedule.
Yeah.
I did not like the way the wide receiver ran the route. I mean,
Was that
it behind the wide receiver, but like, he was sitting in the middle of the field for a very long time when Drake May threw it. Like, I don't know if he just assumed, oh, did my wide receiver forget to run the ball? He just sort of rounded it out. He didn't make any, like, sharp angle. He just kind of round. It was a lazily run route. That was terrible. Both of them. Very disappointing.
Faith texted me, I know, not to cut you off there, but did you see the new logo for Super Bowl 61? The theories, the conspiracy theories are out there. Let's see. Well, that looks like that's dolphins and... Do you see it? Are you looking at it?
I'm looking it up now.
Is that dolphins and Seahawks? I don't think so.
Yeah, dolphins and Seahawks
colors.
Oh,
could be Bengals. Seahawks and Bengals?
You could throw the Broncos in there. You could throw the 49ers in there because there's a little red and some yellow.
I'm seeing aqua
with the red and yellow.
And orange is really what's standing out. So could be the Broncos. Could be the Browns. With the 60-year-old head coach and Shedeur Sanders. Or I guess maybe
funny.
Not Shedeur. Deshaun Watson probably. Yeah, could be the Broncos in there. Bengals, Browns, Broncos, or Dolphins, if we're going conspiracy there.
You could also say...
Panthers?
There's a little bit of that ugly Jaguars turquoise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could stretch it out and say the...
Eagles? Maybe on the NFC side?
No, not the Eagles. I would say that would be more of a Carolina Panthers.
Panthers? Probably Seattle, though. Okay, let's go Seattle and Denver. Or Seattle and Cincy. If we're going straight off the conspiracy thing there.
With the colors, I'd say it would probably be more of a Seattle and Kansas City Chiefs thing. Because it has the red and the yellow. Plus the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are around water.
Mm.
If you really...
Mm. Did you see this news, Mike? Part of the top stories, North Dakota State football. They're going to join the Mountain West Conference next season. Just football, I believe. So what does that do for you? I wonder how fans feel about that.
Wait, North Dakota State's moving up?
Yeah, they're moving up. This is a team that won a lot of championships, Mike, from 2011 to 2024.
Oh, that's going to make reassigning teams even more difficult.
Yeah, that's some very interesting news there.
I mean, I'm already struggling finding good teams for the North.
I think it's, for me, like, I don't have a dog in that fight. I think it's a good move by the conference to get them in, because I'm guessing they probably make okay money for where they sit.
The question is, will they be a cupcake their first few seasons, and can they get over that?
Yeah. Man, they were good, though. They've won 10 of the last 15 football championships. So it's kind of like the argument with the UNC Bears, should they have ever went to D1, because they won their championships in the late 90s, right, or early 2000s? And then,
well, they had the one.
I thought they had two.
Maybe they had two.
Yeah, I thought it was two.
But this domination says, yes, move up. I mean, you could also make that same case for Montana and Montana State because of how good they've both been. Always in the top 25, always, not always, but a lot of times going to the championship. You could make that case. I wouldn't move up. But yeah, moving them up, probably good.
Yeah, I think it's good for the Mountain West.
And good for the FCS.
Why?
Because they will now have a new winner.
Oh, well, yeah. This team won a lot. They won a lot of championships in the last 10 years. 10 of the last 15.
We're now going to have 137 college football teams in the FBS.
137. Could you see a team like North Dakota State becoming a playoff team? Again, if they're the best.
Not right off the bat.
If they're one of the best.
I mean, it's going to be really difficult for them. just because, like, they have quality talent, but they have quality talent for FCS. And where are they located? They're located in the Dakotas. What is there to do in the Dakotas?
I don't know, but thank you for that. I couldn't make the connection between North Dakota State and the Dakotas.
Oh, I'm just saying, what do you do in the Dakotas? What's fun out there? Like, a lot of the attraction to go to USC is, oh, we have Hollywood. We have all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I just care about football there. That's what they're about, that business.
Well, that's great, but if you're trying to recruit someone from California or Florida or Texas, that's difficult.
Aaron says it's more exciting than anybody else the Mountain West has tried bringing in. Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it's good. I think it's a good move.
Yeah,
their fan base might not agree.
Tough for them to recruit, but I wish them good luck.
I'm curious to see what their NIL situation is like, because you don't get to that level of success even at the FCS by accident. I mean, they got to be paying, but they were doing this well before the NIL world started up. So, all right, 26 minutes after the hour. So Big City Roadhouse gave another TV away, Mike. That's just what they do now. They're becoming very famous for this. Now, what's up next? This weekend, Valentine's Day. They're going to have live music there, 5 to 7:30. Oldies, classic rock, and country going to be there from a band that I keep hearing about, Young at Heart, is going to be performing there. And then after, you know, you have your nice night, whatever, they're going to be doing karaoke 8 to 10 o'clock at Big City Roadhouse, man. Not only is it the spot to go to just for lunch, have a meeting, whatever, great place to hang out, excellent food, but they are constantly doing stuff like this now and hooking people up with great prizes and things like that. You got to love it. Big City Roadhouse. 27 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's take a short break here. When we come back, halftime outrage. Was it that bad? Was it good? Where do you guys sit on that side? Any thoughts on the commercials, the game itself? We'll get back into it here on the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Would the Joker back? Will the Nuggets make a run? Find out with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
One, two, three, up! My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to? I can't stand to see me walk out the door.
This weekend on The Rocks Liquor, our beverage of the week, our game beer of the week, is the new Voodoo Ranger G-Force from New Belgium. Brewing a supercharged, juicy IPA at 11% ABV, where juiciness meets max velocity. Get your tall can today at On the Rocks Liquor. They hooked you up for the Super Bowl, and they just continue to do all of that. They got their free wine and beer tastings every Friday. Try something new, or, as always, get your go-to at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration On the Rocks, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Side news here, Michael. I don't know if you heard about Brad Arnold, the lead singer of Three Doors Down. He did pass away on Saturday, months after he announced that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 kidney cancer. He was 47 years old. That's one of those bands, man. You know, I didn't listen to a lot of them much the last 10, 15 years or so, but dude, grew up listening to that band. I mean, they had the big breakout hit, Kryptonite. He wrote the song in math class when he was 15 years old, according to the band statement. But I was into Three Doors Down. That was a good band. So unfortunate news, man. Seen a lot of that. You know, as we get older, Mike, that's what happens, unfortunately. I don't think Three Doors Down, did they ever play at the Super Bowl? I don't think so. That would have been an interesting one.
You know what? I want to see Green Day. I want to see them do the halftime show next.
Boy, they wouldn't be political at all.
No. I mean, they did their American Idiot song.
Didn't they, like, change some words around to it? Yeah.
They dropped the F-bomb.
Did they?
They did. It was caught. It was caught by NBC.
Green Day had their moment for me in the 90s, but then they did their Wake Me Up When September Ends was pretty good, and then kind of got over it.
My favorite of theirs,
What is that song called? That's a good song. That's a really good song. But that album, though, that's the only good song on that album. I bought that album so excited because that was back in the day, Mike, when you hear one good song, so you buy the entire CD, and then it's crappy. That album was bad, save for that song.
I felt that same way about the first System of a Down song because I liked the two songs that they released on it, and I did not like the album.
Which one?
And then going back and listening to the whole thing a couple months later, I actually really enjoyed
Toxicity,
the album.
Was that Toxicity, that one? Was it Toxicity?
No, Toxicity is the second one.
That one,
the second one I
absolutely
loved.
Every song on there was good.
That is one of my favorite albums.
It's one of those that I heard too much. I still have it, but when I hear it, I'm like, it just went crazy in high school with it. Just played it nonstop. How about System of a Down at the Super Bowl? That would be wild, man. Nobody would like. Yeah.
Oh, they wouldn't let it happen they dropped the F-bomb on Saturday Night Live.
They're going to go pop all the time. They might go country again at some point. I don't know, but they're definitely going to go pop.
They might do the waiting all day for Sunday night gal.
Faith Hill? Didn't she already do one?
I don't think it's Faith Hill.
Not Faith Hill.
Blondie Magoo.
Can't think of her name. Don't know.
Tanner.
Yeah, they might go that route. They could go that route. So you didn't really watch the halftime show. You turned it off.
Yeah. Well, it's not my TV, but also I would have gone in the other room anyway because I had other stuff to do, and I had my computer, and I turned on Spotify so I could listen to one of my favorite bands. Because
Carrie Underwood is the name we were looking for. I want to read Faith's text here. I'm of Cuban heritage, so it spoke to me. Now we're getting a bunch of Carrie Underwoods coming in. So it spoke to me, but it's not for everyone. You don't have the choice of who the halftime show is, but you do have the choice to change this channel. The choice is yours, and it's okay. Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be people, and Faith, I appreciate that. There's going to be people that saw different meaning to the songs that he was singing and the display that was out there. From what I watched, I didn't see anything that was like super controversial. I didn't see it, but that stuff sometimes goes over my head.
Yeah. As soon as I saw the telephone poles, like the pole dancers on the telephone poles, I'm like, oh, it's a political statement about Puerto Rico.
And just what they go through, I guess.
Yeah. Cause like every time there's an infrastructure problem with their power and they're like always complaining about it and nothing happens, but they're in American territory. So you'd think that they'd get help. You guys should look up the Jones Act. They kind of.
So that's why he was climbing the telephone pole. Like he climbed it.
I don't know if he did, but there were
he climbed it. Yeah. I watched it. He climbed it, but I didn't know the significance of. I guess I don't want to have to. I like history. I do. In current affairs, maybe I'm not as well-versed as I should be. But I don't necessarily want my football game to be something where I need to go Google the background of this for the halftime show. That to me is.
Why did Bad Bunny climb up a telephone pole?
Right. And what was the tree meaning? People were dressed as trees. I don't know. They had. Whatever. I'm not going to go that far. So I'll never go that far.
I'll talk about
songs with lyrics and go, oh, wow, here's the meaning of that song. It's really fascinating. But that's in that given time, not during the Super Bowl. You know, it's just I'm never going to be that guy. Oh, the Chili Peppers came out with their shirts off. What did that signify? Oh, that's just what they do. They take their shirts off all the time. I don't know. I just, like I said earlier, man, you got one camp telling you, if you didn't like this halftime show, something is wrong with you. And then you have another camp telling you, if you liked this halftime show, something is wrong with you. I guess I'm to the point where it's so annoying to see the backlash on either side of this that it's just, who are you to tell anyone if they liked it, great, if they didn't? And I don't mind if you get on there and say, wow, I really enjoyed the halftime show. But you always see somebody has to add that extra line. And if you didn't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you is basically the equivalent of you're wrong. There's something wrong with your tastes. So when somebody says that to you, like if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. Basically means if you can't see it, you're an idiot. So that's the subtle way I've seen.
If you don't like my music, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. If you think Bo Nix is a Hall of Fame quarterback, I don't know what to tell you, or I can't help you. No, I'm good. I don't need your help. I didn't know who Bad Bunny was before he was announced as the halftime show. People have told me he's the biggest pop artist in the world. The biggest pop artist in the world is like the most delicious sardine to me, because I don't like sardines.
Well,
so
whenever I see an advertisement on YouTube, like they have, not YouTube, Spotify, they have like these banners for this thing, I'm like, who is this? All right, Bad Bunny's biggest listen is 1.3 billion listens.
That's a lot of people.
Spotify.
What is it called?
DTMF.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. And again, it's not like if it spoke to you and you liked it, that's awesome. And if you didn't, that's also awesome. But I know the alternative. Now we're creating alternative stuff. Like, okay, the Animal Planet one is goofy and fun. And if you have kids in your house and they don't listen, there's a lot of women dancing on the stage that have not a lot on. So if you're kind of like, yeah, my kids, I don't really want them to see that. Then you go over to Animal Planet and watch the puppy halftime, whatever it's called, puppy halftime show, and then the puppy bowl or whatever. I mean, that's a unique alternative. But then the turning point thing was like, hey, for those that don't want to get into the political stuff that is the Super Bowl halftime show,
come over to our politics.
Like, it's political. It was. Like, the clips I've seen are songs about transgender stuff and not knowing what a man is or whatever. Like, that's political. And that's not the time for me to get into it.
I just want to watch football. And if there's going to be politics, like, I guess I want the politics of football. Like, that's what I want. I don't want all this. The Super Bowl has become a distraction. So, like, I love it when the Broncos are in the Super Bowl, but you get all these people who don't know anything about football, and they have a take, and none of their take is useful because it's all about
the
stuff surrounding football.
Right. It's
and
the now.
I just want football, damn it.
Yeah, well, and you're never going to get that again, though, Mike, because the ratings they get, the money that goes into that, they'll never go back. The NFL will never go back to a modest halftime show. They're always going to go with a big pop artist of some sort, or they're going to try to get some nostalgia and go with like Snoop Dogg and all that. You know, that's just what they're going to do.
They're just trying to be the Olympics.
Why?
Because the Olympics has all this pre-Olympics crap in it.
Oh, the show they do, the opening ceremonies thing?
Yeah.
They do. Wasn't France like the really strange one?
Well, France
while back,
is really strange.
That
anyway.
Was odd. I didn't see this one. I haven't watched any Olympics yet. I'm a Summer Olympics guy. I like that more. Winter Olympics. It's not that I don't respect what they do, but I'll check it out because my kid likes to watch the Olympics. He always has it on his iPad.
When hockey comes on, I'll watch the Olympics. But
by the way, I know we got a break. They promoted the NBA All-Star Game. That was a good promo. Kind of has me excited. 44 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I saw your pretty face.
That's a good one. That's a good one, man. That's a loss in the musical industry right there. I mean, that was an excellent band. Grew up with that band. First of it is text line is 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris loves the Brock Wisney show, Michael. He says, love the Brock and Brady show. Let's syndicate and go national. Well, I mean, Brock's got to flex his muscles a little bit. Because we just talk UNC.
So, let's call it the Brockle Show.
The Brockle Show.
Yeah, Brockle.
The Brockford Files.
Brockhole.
I don't think so. All right, coming up in the final hour of the show, we will talk some basketball. Nikola Jokic is on his way to leading in the triple-double historical category. Can he do it this year? Also, what could have been for the Broncos, maybe the biggest missed opportunity in the history of the Denver Broncos franchise. We'll be right back.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to buy or sell. Football season's over, Mike. It's all done. Super Bowl's over, and hope you like basketball and hockey, because that's the world we're living in now for the next several months. Will we have some parades to talk about? We didn't get to that Broncos parade, but the Avalanche, the Nuggets, we've got Olympics still to go for a lot of Avs players. We've got the world versus the country thing, the NBA All-Star Game. Let's unpack it. And the season that was for your Denver Broncos. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.